Thank you for bearing with me during our technical difficulties. My name is Darcy Vavrick, and I am going to be talking about cost effectiveness related to dose response for chronic low back pain. This is an analysis from our randomized clinical trial on dose response to chronic low back pain. My co-authors include Dr. Rajiv Sharma, who is an economist at Portland State University, Dr. Mitchell Haas, who is the Vice President of Research at University of Western States, and Dr. Dave Peterson, who is the head of our technique department. I have no relationships to disclose. So what we're looking at is we're interested in the efficacy relating dose of spinal manipulative therapy to treatment of chronic low back pain. And we have, and this is in process of getting published, but today, and I've talked about that previously in other conferences with you, today we're going to talk about cost effectiveness across the dose of spinal manipulative therapy. In this study, we randomized 400 people with chronic low back pain. They were treated at 8 clinics across the Portland metro area. They received care at every visit, and to make this a little bit more clear, there's a grid at the bottom that shows that people got 0, 6, 12, or 18 treatments, regardless of which group they were randomized to. But you can see that people who received zero spinal manipulative therapy did receive light massage. And it's supposed to be a non-therapeutic light massage. It's supposed to be an attention control. But it was supposed to be non-therapeutic. So from this point on, I'm going to refer to 0, 6, 12, and 18. But just for clarity, I just want you to see that. So what we did is we took the Medicare 2009 National Facility Codes and for the hospital emergency department visit and the non-facility codes for the rest of the visits, which were office visits. We used standard relative value units to include physician effort, practice expense, and malpractice insurance. We used a standard conversion factor for cost, and we used commonly reported physician services for estimates of care rendered. So, for example, for primary care, with this, with $62.35 per visit, and here are the visit codes that we used in this cost analysis. Now, what these people did is they had a survey and they responded whether or not they used care outside. We didn't deliver surgeon or neurologist office consultations. They reported that they had this. And we don't have access to their health insurance data, so we made an estimate of what these costs would be based on standardized estimates of cost. No hospitalizations were included, so we didn't include those in analysis. Only one patient from spinal manipulative therapy group receiving 6 treatments reported 2 surgeries, and this was an outlier, and so this cost was removed from the analysis. We did just assign a 20-cent per over-the-counter pharmacy and $1 per use for prescription. So cost-effectiveness outcomes I'm going to talk about today include health outcomes and quality-adjusted life years, treatment costs in the preceding 4 weeks, and then cost of treatment plus time lost due to disability in preceding 4 weeks. So the QALY score we used was based on the EuroQOL, and the EuroQOL subscales are based on mobility, self-care, usual activities, pain, discomfort, and anxiety, depression. And these were measured at 0, 12, 24, 39, and 52 weeks after enrollment. We calculated the mean for the entire year by assuming a change linearly in an interval between questionnaires. And so we looked at the net QALY gain, which was improvement in mean over entire year compared to baseline. Another thing we looked at was cost of time. And these computations were based due to low back pain related disability in prior 4 weeks at 06, 12, 18, 24, 29, and 52, and is computed from the number of days patients were kept from their usual activities. Now, we had to make some assumptions here. Each day a patient was kept from their usual activities, we estimated they lost 5 hours of productive time. And for each hour lost, we assumed a $15.95. We assumed a median wage. But they said activities of daily usual activities, but does that mean that they were bedridden all day, or does that mean that they missed work, or does that mean that they missed choir practice? We weren't sure, so we made a conservative assumption as far as the cost of lost productivity. For annual costs of treatment as well as time lost, we summed costs over 4 week periods because we asked over the preceding 4 weeks. And the costs for the unaccounted weeks were computed by assuming weekly costs changed linearly, and that, again, is an assumption. So employment status, we did not adjust for this in computations of cost of time lost due to low back pain-related disability, and there are pros and cons to this. So for the statistical analysis, we looked at a linear dose effect and adjusted mean difference between groups. We adjusted for baseline treatment costs, baseline QALY, pain, disability, gender. We logged transformed to skewed data, but then we represent them in percentages for interpretability. So this is the description of our data, and these are basically the covariates we used in our analysis. And in summary, the patients are 41 years old. They're similar in gender, mostly white, non-Hispanic. They were confident in their treatment. They had previous treatment as a general rule. They had moderate baseline health with some time lost due to low back pain disability, which is why they're in the study. And when we look at QALYs, which I'm about to show you, less than zero is worse than dead, and one is unimpaired, and zero is equivalent to dead. So here you can see people improved, but there wasn't much difference between groups. You can see that green line, the SMT12 group, kind of peaked up at the end, but this is not statistically significant. We didn't see any differences in dose effect or groups versus control at any time point or when adjusted or looked at annually. And then here we have the unadjusted treatment costs in the prior 4 weeks. Now we do see a difference in groups here, but again, we don't have any statistically significant results. And we do see that there's some trends that visually are interesting, but again, with the adjusted models, with and without imputed data, we just didn't find a statistical significance between groups. Now here we did see a difference. We saw a difference at 6 weeks. 6 weeks is the end of care. They receive 6 weeks of care, so that's, and they're not supposed to receive a lot of outside care, but you can see that there was some outside care received, but they are not allowed to receive outside chiropractic care. Everybody did pretty well throughout the study, but you can see that at 52 weeks, the 12, even though there's a fair amount of variability, dipped down, and the control, that while there's a fair amount of, there's some zigzag that you can see, at 52 weeks it dipped up, and so then at 52 weeks it's statistically significant, but again, there's a fair amount of variability between the data, so this is something that we observed. So to give you some actual numbers, if you look at a slope, so this is multiplicative change. So we see a 31% decrease comparing dose to dose. So comparing 0 to 6 treatments, 6 to 12, 12 to 18 on average across groups, we noticed a 31% decrease. However, you can see that in the 18 group, this is minus 56% compared to control. So that's where we're seeing most of the change. At 52 weeks, there's that 12 SMT versus 0 SMT separation that we saw in the graph. But then when we take the data and we put it over an annual basis, it's no longer statistically significant. It is still slightly less or a slightly improved in 12 versus 0, but again, it's not giving us a huge effect. Again, keep in mind the computations, the cost of time. We made a fair amount of assumptions about that, and we didn't want to double the costs of LVP disability inappropriately. So we were conservative. So in conclusion, we did see that the SMT-12 group had the best QALY score by 52 weeks, but that wasn't statistically significant. We saw a reduction in cost of treatment compared to control, but not when annualized to include study treatment, and results for the cost of treatment weren't statistically significant. We saw a reduction in the cost of treatment and disability compared to control, which seemed to be sustainable to 52 weeks, but there's quite a lot of variability, so nothing was really statistically significant except for SMT-12 versus 0 at 52 weeks. But then the annual costs weren't statistically significant. So it seems that 12 SMT treatments appear to be reasonable for use in a comparative effectiveness trial, and we'll see what the cost analysis gives us at then. Thank you.